Hey everybody, it's Vayu. Last time on Prison Pals, the gang got in a pretty illegal rough and tumble down in the alleyway, and then we all up and split our separate ways. What goes on after that? Well, you're just gonna have to listen and find out.
So we ended off with Holland being at the temple, Vayu at the orphanage, Gibbs heading to the orphanage, and Elsie, you just left the Oakshade Cafe. We're gonna pick up with Gibbs. So Gibbs, you just left the temple, and you're heading back to the orphanage. What are you doing on the walk there? Are you walking? Are you running? Are you thinking about anything? Are you...
Gibbs is very, like, tunnel vision right now. They just want to get to the orphanage, and that's it. They're paying enough attention to, like, weave their way if there's, like, still a crowd, but not enough attention to see, like, who's around them or what else is going on. Like, they're just booking it for the orphanage.
Yeah. So you book it for the orphanage. And you see that the front door is open. You walk into the same scene that Vayu sort of did, that there's no one really inside. What do you do when you walk in through the front door?
Gibbs is gonna walk in through the front door, and not knowing if anyone really is around, they're just gonna shout out, Evie! Evie! Evie!
Vayu, you hear Gibbs calling for Evie. But no response. Evie's not here, as far as you know. So your scenes are sort of connecting right now.
Yeah, and so Gibbs, they're running around looking for Evie, but if they can't find him, they're going to go, like, up in their room anyway, so.
Question, do you close the door?
No.
Okay.
Gibbs is panicking. They don't
care. The front door is wide open, y'all.
Like, I'll be honest, no. That Gibbs not paying attention to it.
Come in, everyone.
So you begin searching through the orphanage for anyone. Vayu, you can hear Gibbs calling for you. And at this point, it's been...
Well, calling for Evie.
Yeah, calling for Evie.
An adult.
And at this point, I would say it's been around, like, 30 minutes or so since you left the fight in the alley. Rhea has calmed down. She still sniffles a little bit heavily every now and then, but she's not sobbing the way that she was before. She's still sort of in your lap and in your arms, though.
Okay, so I just kind of, like, perk up at the sound of... Do I know it's Gibbs?
Yeah, you've talked with Gibbs. You know Gibbs's voice.
Okay, I recognize them. Okay. Yeah, so I hear that, and I'm like, okay, I look at Rhea, and I'm like, I'm gonna go get Gibbs. Do you want to come with me, or do you want to stay here?
She just keeps her arms locked around your neck, and just squeezes tighter towards you.
Can I pick up Rhea with, like, one arm?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
She's very tiny, okay. You can pick her up.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so I just kind of stand up, and I'm assuming her arms are, like, around my neck, so I'm just kind of, like, holding her with one arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of, like, walk out into the hallway. Yeah. I'm assuming, like, other kids' rooms are, like, in the hallway,
yeah, there are
too.
Other kids' rooms. You know that the second floor and the third floor are where all the bedrooms are. And on the first floor is where, like, just the normal, like, playroom sort of kitchen area is and everything. You also know that Evie's room is on the second floor, the like office area that she has.
Okay. So I just kind of like slowly walk out. I'm gonna leave my staff like in front of Rhea's door, just like not worry about it.
As you leave the staff, you do notice that the one end is covered in blood, just so you know.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, so you leave the staff.
Yeah, guess I did that. Oops. Yeah, okay, so I walk up. I said this like 10 times. I walk out into the hallway. Gibbs, is that you? I don't know if they can hear me.
I mean, they were running up towards their room anyway. So yeah, they kind of appear, I guess, like around the corner up the stairs. I don't know the exact architecture of the building.
That sounds correct. Okay, I just like rush over to them and like kneel down back, like even kneeling down, that's not really eye level. As close to eye level as I can get with this tiny child. And I'm like, hey, are you hurt? Are you okay? Oh, Squirt, I'm so sorry you had to see that. Are you okay?
Gibbs nods and looks at Rhea and says, are you okay, Rhea?
Rhea gives you a small nod and looks at you and says, thanks. And then nuzzles back into Vayu's shoulder.
Vayu, have you seen, is Miss Evie around?
No, kid. I think she's still at the festival. We can go get her. Do you want to come with me? And we can go find her?
Gibbs nods again.
Okay.
All right.
You're just gathering ducklings.
Yeah. Okay, hear me out. So, like, Rhea's, I'm gesturing at my body, which, once again, no one can see. If Rhea's, like, on my left shoulder, kind of, do you think Gibbs could sit on, like, my right shoulder?
Yeah, you could, if you'd like to.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Roll animal handling.
Hop on, babe.
Animal handling, really?
I didn't know what else would be the roll. Maybe one of them would roll
strength,
like a mount.
Acrobatics.
I don't know.
Speaking of animals, I don't have I haven't acknowledged my
Oh, you still have a bird.
I have a bird that I haven't acknowledged. Anyway.
You have a bird? This is the first time hearing of this.
We'll say that Bayou Jr.'s at home. Because you
I would think so
Bayou Jr. to poop on anyone at the festival.
This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Yeah, he's a mountain bluebird. His name's Bayou Jr. and I love him a lot.
So you put Gibbs on your shoulder and you head out of the orphanage. Holland, we're going to cut back to you. Nathaniel has finished healing Floor and you can see that the cut on her head is gone, but she's still sort of drifting in and out of consciousness. She's not fully there with you yet. Nathaniel has left. He's helping treat the other three. What do you want to do?
Holland's just going to stay there holding Fleur's hand and just like he's not really coherent right now because he's a mess. To put it lightly. I think he's just like burying his head in her hand and just like repeating like, this is all my fault. I'm so sorry. Please wake up. You don't deserve this. And it's just like cycling through that constantly. And that's just what he's doing right now. And even after, like, Nathaniel finishes his
treatment, yeah. So, you sit there, and you hold on to Floor, repeating this mantra. And you feel her hand squeeze yours back very slightly. And as you look up, her eyes flutter open, and she says, Holland, you're okay.
Of course,
Where's Quinn?
She's with my parents.
Good. We have so much we need to talk about.
You need to rest right now.
And as you say that, she falls back asleep. What do you do?
I think at this point, he's just like, the sobbing has like subsided, but he's just like physically warm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, so he's like pulling at the collar and like pulling that like open.
Mm-hmm.
And like squeezing, and then he goes like to squeeze her hand. And like he just like feels as like the birthmark to start to glow, and then energy passes between his hands, and he uses like the healing hands ability on her, which is like 2 hit points, but you know, it's the sentiment.
It's the thought that counts.
It's the thought that counts, but you know.
You can see that she was in sort of this very, not deep sleep, very light sleep, sort of still moving. And as you cast the spell, you see her muscles relax, and you can tell that she has fallen deep asleep now.
And he's just gonna put her hand down and try and go find Nathaniel.
All right. As you leave the room, you actually find that there is someone standing right in front of the door. This person is a human in their early 30s. They have dark black hair that's cut very close to their scalp and bright green eyes. They are very strong looking, and they have a very serious look on their face. You recognize this as Captain Akira Nakamura, the captain of the town guard. They are wearing their armor and all the weapons and everything that they have on them. And they...
All of them.
Yep, all of them. And they look right at you and say, "Can we speak for a moment?"
"Yes, we can."
"Good." And he waves his hand out, leading you out of the room. Captain Nakamura leads you out of the medical ward of the temple and into this sort of courtyard area, this area that's under open air, and there's lots of greenery here. You know, this is the place where the monks normally train, and he leads you there and turn they lead you there and look at you and say, "What happened today?"
"We heard screaming, and we found 3 men cornering a small dragonborn child in an alley, and the intention was to help them. It may have gotten out of hand a bit, but I tried to do the best I can in saving everyone involved. The men were trying to kill the child, and we were only trying to protect her. The person who almost killed the one man, they're only a kid too."
Captain Nakamura crosses their arms and looks at you and says, "This is a very bad situation. We made the town on the concept of peace, and a fight between the Sharians and the rest of us is not good.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you were protecting the child, and I do not think that you did the wrong thing. I just think that there's going to be a little bit of consequences from this. I'm going to do my best to make sure that you and the others who are with you are protected. Speaking of that, who was with you? I know that you were there, Nathaniel told me as such, but I was also told there was a Genasi, a tiefling, and a child."
"Yes, the child is Ghibli Stern. They live in the orphanage. I'm friends with them."
Captain Nakamura gives a slight nod. "I have heard much about Ghibli from shop owners mostly."
Yeah, basically everybody in town knows who Ghibli is. Then it was Vayu, was the Genesai. They also live in the orphanage, I believe. I do not know them exactly. And then the tiefling's name was Elsie. His mother works in the temple.
I will speak with her then. Do you know what happened to Floor?
I have suspicions, but nothing confirmed.
So, well, is there anything you can tell us that might help?
I believe she used a form of magic that was intended to protect me, but it had consequences.
When you say that Floor used magic, Captain Nakamura's eyes widen towards you, and they put their hand on your shoulder and quiet you slightly and say, Floor has magic.
I do not know. This is news to me as well.
That is very dangerous. You cannot talk to people about that.
Why is it dangerous?
Floor is Hasharian. If Lucien or the others were to find out that someone magical was sent here from Hashar, it would be a disaster.
I understand.
You can't tell anyone about that.
I won't.
Well, I must be going. I have other people I need to speak to, but I don't know what's going to happen because of this, but you need to be aware that there will be some sort of consequence for everyone involved.
I understand.
They give you a short nod and then walk into the medical ward. Elsie, you left the Oakshade Cafe. Where are you going?
Elsie is extremely flustered. He's dealt with people like that his entire life, but he's never seen people so willing to kill a child. And then his friends just abandoned him. He's gonna go straight home and just start packing.
You head straight home. There are no lights on at home. You know that your mother is still at the temple. There's your sister's not here. She's somewhere in the festival. But you're home. And you start packing. Is there anything you want to do while you're here? Anything specifically?
Yeah. He would leave a note for Veronica. The note would say, I'm sorry. I love you. I cannot stay here. Not any longer. Be good and do well. And he would leave that on her bed.
Does it take you multiple attempts to write this note, or is it just practice at this point?
This is the first time he's ever written this note.
Alright. Yeah. Do you go through any... Is it just like you write it and it's good, or...
He writes it, he hates it, and he doesn't rewrite it.
Okay. So you leave that note on the bed, and as you start leaving, you hear the front door open. Elsie, are you here? You know it's Veronica. Elsie, Mom told me something happened.
Elsie wouldn't respond. He'd just keep packing.
Alright. She goes upstairs. Comes upstairs to actually look for you. And you hear a knock at your door. Elsie? I can see the candles are on. What's happening?
He goes to the door, he opens it, but he doesn't open it fully. And he stands in the doorway. And he doesn't look at Veronica.
Elsie, what's going on?
I had a really bad time at the festival, kid.
Okay, I'll let you rest then. And she takes a step back.
Veronica.
Yes.
You know that I love you, right?
Of course.
Just always remember that.
I will never forget it.
Okay. And he closes the door.
You hear her footsteps go down the hallway towards her room. And there's a few minutes of silence. And then you hear her footsteps leave her room, go to your mother's room, and then you hear her walk back to in front of your room. And you hear a sort of heavy thud. And then she leaves.
I check the door.
Opening the door, you see a wrapped package. Less of a package and more of a bag sitting on the floor. It's not huge, but it's large enough to carry a few items in it. But it is sitting in front of your door.
I pick it up and look in it.
Looking into the bag, you find 4 large bottles containing what looks like potions of your treatment.
Oh, Veronica.
And there's a note there that says, Mom figured it out.
Veronica, you're amazing. I wish I would have been better. And he takes the potions and his bag and he leaves.
Alright. Make sure you write down that you have those potions.
Yeah.
Vayu and Gibbs, you both have been trekking through the festival to try and get to Evie. You know that the closing ceremonies are about to begin and that the fireworks will start soon after. You eventually find her in front of the stage, sort of gathering all the children up, and she sees you from a distance. And she turns and looks at Ezra and whispers something to him, and he gives her a nod and then looks and sees you, Vayu. And there's confusion and concern on his face, but then he goes back to focusing on the kids. Evie approaches you both and says, What's going on here? Rhea? Rhea? And Rhea doesn't move from your shoulder. She holds on to you.
Miss Evie, I used my gun. I'm so sorry. I didn't want to, but then you said I could use it if we were in trouble. And, like, I guess I wasn't in trouble technically, but Rhea was, and so I used it, and I'm sorry.
Evie gets down and, like, goes onto her knees to try and look you at eye level.
Gives his Actually, on Vayu's shoulder.
Oh, yeah, you're on Vayu's shoulder. Evie looks up at you and says, You used your gun.
Gives nods.
And you used it slowly nod too.
You used it to help Rhea.
They nod again.
Was she in danger?
They keep nodding.
Was she going to be hurt?
Gives nods again.
She holds her hands out to you to sort of take you off of Vayu's shoulder.
Okay, they hold on, I guess.
Alright. She picks you up and pulls you into a hug and whispers into your ear, You did good. Good job. She puts you down and pats your head.
It worked. The gun, it worked.
It did work. I can confirm.
She cracks a smile and says, I had no doubt, but... why don't you go join Ezra and the other children? And Rhea, would you go with them too? And Rhea very slowly nods. And when Evie goes to pick her up, she lets herself be held. Evie puts her on the ground.
Miss Evie? Can I stay with Vayu?
Can I talk with Vayu first?
I'll come back for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Alright. So you and Rhea head towards where Ezra and the other children are. Evie smiles fondly after the two children. And the look she gives you when she turns around is nothing but pure ice.
Oh.
What happened, Vayu?
Evie.
What happened?
Evie, I'm sorry. I was with Rhea, and I left her alone, and God, I thought I left her alone for, like, 10 minutes.
You left her alone?
I thought it was going to be, like, a 10-minute thing. I promise. I'm so sorry, Evie. God, I left her alone. Just really quick. I was just going in, it was stupid. God, I just... She wanted. I was with her about this fortune telling, and I was like, I just
stop. And then, I asked you to do one thing today, and that was keep that child safe. I can forgive you being late to the meetings. I can forgive you not showing up when events aren't fun, but putting these children in danger is not acceptable.
Evie.
No.
God, I know.
Stop. Stop. I will let Gibbs go with you because I trust them, but you are not to come back to the orphanage again. Get out of my sight now.
No, Evie, you don't understand.
Get
out.
And she walks away from you. As Evie approaches you, Gibbs, she gives you a slight nod and says, Gibbs, you can go with by you, but make sure you're home by the time all the events are done, okay?
Okay.
And then she goes to Rhea and picks her up and just sort of cradles her.
And then Gibbs runs over to Vayu. And, like, they want to give you a hug, but they're not sure if it'd be weird for you. They just, like, I don't know, hugged your knee. Vayu?
Yeah.
Thank you earlier. You were really tough and cool and helped protect us. I'm sorry Miss Evie doesn't understand.
Thank you. Thank you, Gibbs, for being so brave. God, you're... Thank you.
Are you okay?
No, but no, I'm fine.
You know, it's okay to not be fine. My daddy just tell me that all the time. I know a place where we can go where you might feel better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, it's this way. Gibbs will kind of lead Vayu over to, like, I don't know, like, the way I mentioned it before was that there's kind of, like, a cliffside that kind of, like, overlooked, like, the beach and, like, the lighthouse and things that Gibbs would go and sit at every night.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. And so Gibbs is going to kind of, like, lead Vayu there. And once they're there, they just say, okay, now sit down, and I'm going to show you something, okay?
Okay. Vayu sits.
Okay. And Gibbs, I've been imagining Gibbs, like, has, like, a little bag on them, you know, just with, like, little trinkets or whatever. They reach into their bag and they pull out this little music box. And they kind of show it to you and they're like, My parents made me this music box before they left, and they said that any time that I felt sad or scared, that I should play it and think of them. And, like, you didn't know my parents, but I think the music is pretty and it might help you.
No, I think that's good. That's good.
Well, here, you just have to wind this key in the back, see?
Okay. Bayou takes it from them and does that. Right. They're having a time.
Music is playing from this little music box that you two are carrying. So, I think we end the scene there with you two listening to the music box and seeing the rain that's falling over the ocean and looking at this unlit lighthouse. We're gonna cut back to Holland. Holland, it's been a little while since Captain Nakamura talked to you. What have you been doing since then? It's been about 10 or so minutes.
I went to the Heart and Hearth.
Alright. You head to the Heart and Hearth. And for once, everything's locked up, but you do have a key. You know, that normally B leaves it unlocked for you in case you show up, but on the nights where she's not home, she locks it up. So it's all locked up right now.
So I go in, and I'm going to fire up the forge.
Mm-hmm.
And before I do anything, I'm going to sit in front of the fire and take out the Inferno card that I have.
So you take out the Inferno card. Is there anything you want to do with this card?
Is it still, like, showing my face in it, or me?
As you look at it, there's occasional flashes of you in it. It's not like before where you just stared at it and it was just you. There are just occasional moments where you see yourself for a brief second.
He's going to look at it, and he's going to, like, see it flash himself within the flames, and he's gonna toss it into the forge.
Alright. You have burned the card called Inferno. What do you do next?
The intention is to try and make another necklace.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, I don't know how much, if he would been able to start another one already, or was just starting from scratch. Like,
I'm gonna say, in the past few months, you don't have enough you don't have enough gold for it. You didn't have enough gold for it because you spent so much on the first one. So if you do want to start it, you're gonna be starting it from scratch, but you also need the money for the materials.
Okay. I would like to start another one.
Alright, so you start another one. You begin working on this and working in the forge, but you know that you won't be able to complete this without the money and the time that you're going to need, but you can start it.
And you enchant it, too.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to do while you're working on this amulet?
Nope, just cry and make this amulet.
Are you actually crying?
Yep.
Okay, so you're crying. So, we are left with this scene of your tears falling onto this piece of metal that you're working, cooling it, and then you having to reheat it over and over again.
So, like, real quick, this should I describe it now, or should I wait and describe it later?
We'll describe it later. We can describe
okay.
it later.
Okay.
But, yeah. We're going to switch over to Elsie. Elsie, what are you doing? It's been a few minutes since your sister left.
I said that I put the potions in my bag and I left. Yeah.
Alright, so you're leaving. Where are you going?
I don't know.
There is a road north that leads to the city, the capital of the Kartaj Empire, a city known as Malra. There are a few other towns and stuff that you could go to off of there, or you could go west and go somewhere else, but Malra is the big destination in the north. It's about a day or two days travel by walking.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Alright. I'll say we just start walking.
Alright. Are you, like, what are you thinking about while you're doing this?
I guess just the events of today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Alright. So, as you're walking through the town, sort of focusing on everything that's happened today, someone bumps into you. They're walking the opposite way, further into town, but they seem to sort of be distracted in the same way as you are. You can hear a sort of jingling of metal as they bang into you slightly.
They just bumped into me?
Yeah, they just sort of bumped into you by accident. And you hear them say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't notice you there. I've kind of in my own head." And looking up, you see this 30-year-old human, somewhere around the 30s. She wears a beautiful purple and gold peasant skirt with black detailing at the hemline of it. She wears a black top with gold detailing and flourishes, and you recognize these as the colors of the Kartaj Empire. Their skirt ends just above their ankles, and you can see that she's barefoot and wears golden bangles on her feet. Her black hair hangs long down her back, and she has a full black stubble beard with piercing hazel eyes. She smiles at you. "Hi, nice to meet you."
"Hi. Don't worry about it. It was my fault. I wasn't paying attention."
"I'm Mella." She holds out her hand.
"I'm LC."
She sort of looks at her hand in front of her and is like, "All right."
"Sorry, he shakes her hand. I've had a very long day. I'm so sorry. Don't worry about it. I wasn't paying attention. It was my fault."
"Leaving the festival so soon, though."
"It's complicated."
She gives you this look that seems to be understanding and nods, and then leans in and says, "You should keep your eyes on the sky, though. I hear that the fireworks are something glorious to see." Smiles, and then waves goodbye to you.
Wait, where are you going?
"Oh, I'm just going to the town. I've missed most of the festival, but I have some business to take care of here."
"Would you like some company?"
"Sure. I thought you were leaving, though."
I could use a friend. Or at least a friendly face."
She smiles at you. "Fair enough." And holds out, doesn't really hold out her hand, but sort of waves you towards her.
Elsie walks towards her.
"All right." And you two walk further into the town. So, we have these scenes going on. We have Elsie walking further into the town. We have Vayu and Gibbs on the cliffside. And we have Holland in the forge. As you're all in these places, you begin to hear fireworks in the sky. And looking up, you can see the beautiful colors. Holland, do you leave the forge when you hear this, or do you stay there?
He would take a break.
Right. So you take a break, and you all look up to the sky and see the fireworks. And you watch them bursting. The different colors, the different shapes that they're made. You know that the artificers in this world work quite hard to make beautiful pictures with fireworks. They create whole landscapes and creatures with them. As you're all watching this, something pulls your attention away for all four of you. You look to the north of the town, past the barrier of where the walls are, and you look up. And you see two rifts above the village, one a dark purple and one a light blue, just about a mile outside of the village walls. And then something strange happens. There is a burst of light from the dark purple rift as an object falls out of it. A comet falls out of it towards the ground, and it strikes. You can feel the rumble. You don't see any fire or anything, but you know something just fell out of this rift. And you four have seen it. What do you want to do?
Well, Gibbs, okay. Gibbs immediately stands up and says, "Whoa! I wonder what that was!" And then just starts running towards it.
I guess I follow them. I'm not letting another child out of my sights ever again.
Elsie looks at... Oh.
Mella?
Mm-hmm. Elsie looks at Mella and says, Did you see that?
See what?
The riff.
She turns around and looks up at the sky and says, "Yes, the rift. I
no, but something fell. Did you not?"
"No, I didn't see anything. Are you okay, Elsie?"
I'm sorry. I think I do actually have to go.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll see you again soon.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Thank you. And, here, and he pulls out a flower, don't ask from where, and gives it to her.
That's right. How rogues are. Yeah.
Don't ask from where.
And he smiles at her and says, "I hope I'll see you again." And he holds out the flower.
She takes the flower sort of tentatively and gives you a nod with sort of eyes that are studying you and says, "Okay."
And Elsie just starts booking it.
All right. Holland, what do you do after seeing this?
Run inside, throw a bucket of water on the fire to put that out.
Let's not burn down the forge.
Let's not do that today.
We've made enough mistakes.
Maybe leave, tomorrow.
Leave the mess that it is. I'm like, "Sorry, B." And run away.
Are you, like, tossing on your armor and stuff while you're going? Or, like, are you just running?
Yeah, this would be the point where I should probably pick up my armor and my sword and shield and be like, "Alright, we've had enough, like, not being prepared.
Let's be you prepared." Normally leave that stuff in the forge because you're there most of the time. So you just quickly grab that and start, like, turning on your armor and everything.
It's like running while putting a chainmail shirt on.
One sleeve on.
You guys all run north, and somehow you end up reaching the northern gates at the same time. All four of you.
Magically. Conveniently.
Magically. Wait, here's the thing. You two just ran, Elsie had a conversation, Holland put on his armor, and they were closer to it than you were. So it kinda makes sense.
Okay, I guess it makes sense.
Fight me.
I mean, listen, Gibbs has really tiny legs, so, like,
their running speed is 25 feet, so...
Okay, so either way, so you guys are all at the northern gate, and you all see each other in various states of dishevelment. You can see that, Elsie already has an entire pack and everything on him. Gibbs and Vayu are just sort of running up with everything they had on them earlier today, and Holland is now wearing armor, has a shield, and a sword.
Great.
And soot stained face with tears streaks through it, like,
yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Raccoon eyes.
Raccoon eyes. I like the idea of, like, Holland wearing, like, mascara. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys all meet up.
Did you three see that as well?
The thing falling out of the sky? Yeah, it looked super cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I
saw it.
I was with somebody else and they said that they didn't see it.
Wait, are they blind?
No, they saw me.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean...
Did you... it looked like what I think it looked like, right?
It looked like a comet to me. Looked like a really big rock falling out of the sky.
Maybe it's a falling star.
All right, we need...
That's what a comet is.
Oh.
So we're gonna go look at it, right?
Yes.
Obviously this...
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay!
Okay. So we go to explore it.
I need... all of you to roll me survival checks because you're throwing yourselves right into the woods to try and find this meteor comet thing.
We're just going into the woods?
The thought that just crossed my mind was like, oh wait, this might be like an extension of my god because, you know, fire and earth.
Wait, so we're going to the woods? Not just like along the road? It's not just like...
So going into... leaving the front gate, you can see that there's the path. But based off of the trajectory of the comet, you know it would have led slightly off the path. So you can follow it part of the way, but then you need to go straight into the woods.
You said survival, right? I rolled 11.
11.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yikes.
That's an 18.
Okay.
Same.
Cool. Hey.
Well, I'm really glad you guys
aren't you guys so
survive.
Glad that my wisdom is higher now?
I'll see.
LC, where's survival?
Wisdom.
Oh, yikes. I got a 5.
Oof.
Bless. Okay. So you guys are running down this path. You may talk now.
Yeah, so, hey everyone, how you doing? I just lost my job and ruined my life, so it's really good. I'm really glad that we're here right now. You know, I'm just having a great time. You know, nothing wrong at all. It's really great.
Vayu, I'm sympathetic, but now is not the time. So, there's a comet that just came out of the sky.
Yeah, and I'm pretty pissed about my life, so let me just complain about it for a second.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Go for it. Rant away.
That's all. Well, I have to say.
Okay. Elsie sees that Gibbs is falling behind and offers his hand.
Alright, Gibbs holds it.
No, like he's gonna pick you up.
Oh, okay, then sure.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
He picks him up.
When we're running, we have to pick you up because you're just gonna fall behind and it's just not gonna work.
Abandon the no.
You're a foot and a half tall.
You guys are sprinting, and while you're sprinting, LC, you see that Gibbs is falling behind, and you very easily reach out your hand, and as soon as Gibbs takes your hand, you basically just fling him up, and they land on your shoulder, and you just keep running.
I love that.
You have a good dex, so it's fine.
Would it be bad if Gibbs, like, held on to your horns? Like, would
that
be
like
weird?
A big no.
Yeah, I feel like that's I feel like that's an ask first type of thing.
Consent.
Like as we're going, if Gibbs wants to ask, we'll see how Elsie responds.
Elsie, can I hold on to your horn so I don't fall off?
Sure, Gibbs, to make up for me making fun of you earlier. I'm sorry again.
All right,
yeah.
So you guys are running down this path, and at one point, Gibbs and Vayu, you're both like, turn into the forest. You basically both just like point. Into the forest.
But they keep running, but they get a good turn.
Yep.
And Holland is just like, keep going straight, like, oh, okay.
I was like, wait, why? And then I remembered our survival checks.
Gibbs just, like, pats Elsie's shoulders, like, no, that way.
So you guys run for about what feels like 10 or so more minutes into this forest. And you eventually begin to see signs of smoke. And an area where the ground seems to be risen up slightly. What do you guys want to do?
Is there, like, open flames?
Good question.
As far as you can tell, there's not open flames, but you can see that there's this almost deep trench that has been dug across this area in the forest, sort of knocking down trees and other things.
Can we see, the comet itself, or no? It's just a trench.
No, it's a little further away from you guys. You are at, like, the very end of the trench. The comet is further down.
I want to, like...
Oh, so it, like...
Into the trench.
It, like, skidded down and across.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we should hop into the trench.
Right. You're going to hop into the trench?
Yeah. So, like, I'm gonna hop down and, like, turn around and, like, reach up for Gibbs and just, like, pass him down.
Off of Elsie's head.
So Elsie hands him down.
Pass the baby.
Like, why are we bringing a 10-year-old foot and a half tall gnome? I don't know, because they're a PC. Because they're a player character and they have to be included.
Because you Sam guys... made them.
You guys begin heading down this path that has been gouged out of the earth. This crushed and dense area of dirt that has been removed. And you all just begin walking. This trench goes pretty far. It goes about 200 feet or so. And on the other end, you can see a strange shape. It's spherical, you would say, but there's something really strange about it.
Strange how?
Roll me a perception check.
All of us?
Sam?
Everyone can roll perception checks if you'd like.
Yeah.
I would like that.
That's not on my desk.
Nope.
Oh, nope.
Perception. Well, that's a 15.
15 from Holland.
That's 8.
From Holland. Okay,
so that's 3
nose. I got
nose
a 1.
And it's 1 a, 15.
It's a 3. It's a 3. So, like,
guys.
So I see the rock.
Gibbs, you are sort of distracted by this passing back and forth. And you're not really...
They're a little disoriented.
Yeah, you're a little disoriented from, first of all, moving, like, falling downwards and then being turned around and, like, carried. You're a little disoriented. Vayu, you are just so busy looking around at sort of this area that's been carved out of the world and, like, looking at the nature and how it was affected that you don't really... You see the rock, but you don't really pay too much attention to it. Elsie, you're very concerned with dropping Gibbs. So you are very gently focusing on that and then focusing on getting yourself down into this pit. Just because you don't want to get hurt yourself. Holland, you're staring at this spherical rock. And you realize what's wrong with it. It's completely smooth. You've heard of meteors before that were pocketed, like, had craters on them and were... completely strange shape, but this one is a perfectly smooth sphere, and it is glowing white.
How big is it?
From this distance, you'd estimate probably about a little less than a 10 feet? No, probably around like 8 feet or so in diameter.
And we're still a distance away from it, right?
Yep,
we're
not still like a distance away from it.
Oh, that's not that big.
No, it's not.
Wait, how big is it?
About like 8 feet in diameter or so.
Oh, okay.
So a little taller than a person.
No, that's what I was imagining.
I want to, like, get up close to it.
Mm-hmm. Alright. Do the rest of you also go with?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I don't think Gibbs has a choice at this point, but yes.
They're a long
ride. You guys all approach this sphere. And as you do, you get closer and closer, and you realize that it's glowing white. It is perfectly placed in this hole that it has made, and it is completely spherical. You all know this now. And as you get close, it's just sitting there.
Is it
completely
like
still?
Emanating heat?
Do you hold out your hand to see if it is?
Yeah.
So you hold your hand up to it. You are going to take 3 fire damage as you go to touch this thing, and it burns you slightly.
It's fire, not radiant, right?
Fire, not radiant.
Okay.
Can I poke it with my stick?
Yeah, you can. You reach out your stick, and you poke it slightly, and you see the very edge
poke
of it,
it with the bloody end.
Blackens very slightly, but then you pull it away.
Okay.
What do you all want to do?
I was going to just stick my hand on it, so I'm glad I didn't do that.
Who's holding Gibbs right now?
I think at that point you're walking.
Holland is.
Like, I just need to know, like, if somebody, like, put down Gibbs or if someone's still holding
you
Gibbs.
You can wriggle out of people's hold. You don't have to stay there.
Well, no, I mean, if somebody was holding Gibbs, like, it wasn't like Gibbs was going to, like, fight against it, but...
I think Elsie handed them down to Holland, and Holland just, like, put them down so that they can,
like,
move freely, because we're not running anymore.
That makes sense.
Okay, well, Gibbs sees Holland kind of like reach out and touch it, and then like sees him get burned, and also sees Vayu poke it with a stick, and see that get a little burned, and they think to themselves that they're going to go touch it, so they run forward.
I grab Gibbs by the scruff of the neck.
Hold up. Before you do that, Gibbs made that choice. So if you're going to do that, I want you to roll dexterity contested against Gibbs.
What am I rolling?
Straight dex. No proficiency, just straight dex.
That's an 18.
That's a 14.
All right. So you start, you're on the ground, you start running towards this, and Holland
grabbed by the
just
back
touched
of the
it.
The shirt, picks up, puts on shoulder, stay.
But I want to touch it.
Do you see my hand? Do you see my hand? Do you see how it's burnt? You're not touching it. You're not touching it.
But it might not burn me.
If it burns me, it burns you.
Elsie goes up and touches it. Just like puts
so
his hands on it.
He's allowed to touch it.
Okay. Elsie.
He's an adult.
You're going to take 6 Maybe. Fire damage, but I'm pretty sure that's reduced because tiefling.
So I take 3 fire damage.
Yes, I'm pretty sure you have fire resistance as a tiefling. I'm not sure, though. Okay.
I do.
But whereas Holland only managed to touch it with his fingertips, you press your entire hand on it.
Yep.
And as you do, a sort of light appears behind your hand, illuminating it in the shape of your hand. And you hear the sort of steam release as the entire sphere begins to cool. And then you hear this whirring of sort of gears and other things as right in front of you, 2 pieces of the sphere push forward and then open. And sitting inside the sphere is a man. He wears torn robes, but something that sticks out about him is that on each of his wrists, he has these golden bracelets, which seem to almost spread further up his forearms. These bracelets are sharp, and they seem to almost embed into his skin. He has dark brown hair, and he is a human, very pale. And around his neck, there is a necklace. It is 8-sided. And on each of the side, there is a small rune drawn on it. In the center of this octagon is an image of an open book. I want you all to roll me history checks or arcana checks.
Or arcana?
Or arcana checks.
Which one am I better in?
History.
Oh, all right,
so it's
going to
be arcana.
Gibbs, you can roll with the bonus to history if you want to.
Oh, cool. Then
the proficiency bonus.
Elsie rolled a 2.
What happened to your nat 20s earlier?
So
I
that's
saved
a 2
for fights.
From Elsie. Vayu, what'd you get?
13.
Gibbs, what did you get?
21.
Holland, what did you get?
19.
Alright.
Made up for the two.
Vayu and Elsie, you look at this symbol and you look at this man and you're not sure what you're really seeing and what this is. But for Gibbs and for Holland, you see this necklace and you know this symbol. You know the symbol because it used to be famous. It used to be known around the world, but something changed, and that symbol became less known. But you were taught about it. Gibbs, you learned about it because your father told you about it. And Holland, you learned about it in the sanctuary when you were taught the evils of magic. This is the symbol of Nairs. Specifically, the symbol of an archmage of Nairs. The city that was consumed by the void. The city consumed in the gouging. This man wears their sign.
Hey gang, it's me, Ollie, and for those of you who don't know, I voice Vayu. We just wanted to give you all a really, really big thank you for downloading and listening to this episode of Prison Pals. It's a really emotional one. It's quite a doozy, but I'm really excited to hear everyone's reactions towards it. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please continue to listen and download. You can also find us on a bunch of different social medias. You can find us on Twitter at Prison Pals, on Instagram at Prison_Pals, and you can like us on Facebook at Prison Pals Podcast. We're also going to have transcriptions of every episode up on prisonpals.tumblr.com. They're a little slow coming, but they're getting there. Promise we're trying. We'd like to thank Neil Martin for his awesome work on our opening theme / closing theme. You can find him at Twitter at Bardic Martin. Also like to give a shout out to our pal Shay for the little music box theme that he made. You can find him at Bandcamp, shayfitzgerald.bandcamp.com/releases. So check him out. He's really talented. All right, so that's it for me for now. We're going to hop on over to Sam with the artist spotlight.
Hey everyone, it's me, your favorite person ever, here to bring you another artist spotlight. So today's artist spotlight is for Liz Sui. Liz Sui is a talented singer-songwriter who also actually creates LGBT+ content. I have been following Liz's singing career since high school, so trust me when I say how incredibly talented she is. She already has a bunch of songs out, so you can go check her out on her website, www.lizsui.com. That's LIZZSOOY. And while you're checking out her website, I recommend two songs specifically, which are my favorite. The first one is called Same Frame, which already has a music video and everything to it, which is super cool. You can see how much work and passion she put into it. And the other song is called A Prayer. And the prayer makes me tear up. It's so good. And it holds such an important message that I know a lot of people can relate to. So I definitely recommend listening to those two. And if you do end up wanting to reach out to Liz, you can find her on Instagram at Liz_Sui. Twitter at Liz Sui, and find her on Facebook. So please, 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 please go listen to these songs and check out Liz because she's wonderful. And then message me and tell me what you think about these songs because I love them so much. Okay, and back to whoever is doing this outro. I think it's Ollie. Okay, bye.
Thank you so much, Sam, and shout out to our artists that got spotlighted. You can find their information in the description below. So that's it for me. Please remember to leave us reviews on iTunes, share us with all your friends, etc., etc. It's the best way to get more people to listen. All right, that's it. Thank you so much, and I love you all. Bye!